What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special edition of the Dad Podcast. This is Cameron Weaver.
And this is your boy, Chad Hoy.
And we have participated in the Pod Radical Equation Andy Sedaris Pod Crawl.
And we regret it. Okay, keep going.
Everyone else on our network is a movie review podcast. And they asked us to do this and be a part of their pod crawl for a director named Andy Sedaris. And our movie was the 1990 box office buster. Just kidding. B movie. I would probably call it a C movie, to be honest. It was called Guns. Oh, boy.
Yeah. And there sure were some guns. If by guns you mean boobies.
But also guns.
Yeah.
And also a samurai sword.
Yeah, that scene was so funny.
I thought about it like 6 hours later. I go, was there a freaking ninja in that bathroom?
There were two.
There were two ninjai.
In the
weight room.
So this is my thing about movie review podcasts. I think it's really hard. Should we go linear?
Yeah, we probably should.
Okay. This is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to read my notes.
Okay, and then we can just chime in.
Yeah, because I have so much notes.
We should probably explain what the loose plot of this movie is.
I have no idea. That's the thing.
Well, I will read the Wikipedia entry for it. Guns is a 1990 action film about a group of female agents who are sent to take out a South American gun runner. That's it. The film was written and directed by Andy Sedaris and stars Eric Estrada, Donna Spear, Devin DeVasquez, Cynthia Brimhall, and Danny Trejo.
Okay, so, yeah, actually, my notes cover two of these things. I wrote, first thing I noticed is, machete! and then I said, the opening dialogue told me all I needed to know about how good the acting would be.
Very bad.
And then I wrote, is that Eric Estrada? yeah. So, right from the start, I could tell this was going to be one of those real bad action movies where there's like all these one-liners and they were all so bad. I wrote some down.
Yeah. I'm sure you wrote down the ones that I wanted to even talk about.
It was about, these girls, right?
Yep.
And, they did some stuff with, they killed people or something.
They're like agents.
Right?
Yeah. They're agents.
Yeah, so I watched the movie, and nothing registered. I have no idea what it was about.
Here, I have a loose idea. I'm gonna give you all a quick synopsis, and there will be spoilers because they were all predictable.
Yeah.
So basically, this guy, who's a South American gun runner, hires these two guys in the beginning. He's like, I need you to find this brunette. She's going to be wearing a green dress. I need you to kill her, and I need you to leave this my calling card, which is the Jack of Diamonds. And because that's what, you know, crazy people do. So these bumbling oafs, these henchmen, these hitmen, who were funny, but also just like, they were your favorite part of a high school play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where like the troublemaker kids who like had to do an extracurricular were in this play and they like went off book and started doing crazy things just to make their friends laugh. That's what that was.
It's really spot on. Thank you. Spot on. Yeah.
So yeah. They kill this girl, but it's the wrong girl. And so they call in these agents and they're like, oh, they were actually after you. And I still don't know why. But then the other girl, their friends, they're like, they're on the case and they have to find out this guy who leaves this Jack of Diamonds. But the only guy who did that was supposedly dead 10 years ago when he was killing one of the main characters' dad. And then it comes out that he was using this place in Hawaii where the Geneva Convention didn't reach or something, so he could, like, smuggle guns and no one would care, and he would refuel his, like, small charter plane to get them from South America to Hawaii and then back into the U.S., Las Vegas specifically. Mm. And so that's because of those two hitmen. That's how the agents got on, because they messed up, so the agents were still alive and they were able to start chasing him. This guy's real bad, and they find out, like, where he's gonna be, and they track him down to this Las Vegas casino, and all the while he keeps hiring new hitmen because all of his get killed in, like, really weird ways, and that's where the ninjas come in. But then basically it turns out that this guy who they thought was dead, he's just got a lot of money and a lot of power, so that's how he was still alive. He kidnaps the director of this, like, agency, who's the main character's mom, and then they kind of gloss over a rape scene.
I did write this. I wrote this in my notes. It said, let's go. I gotta find them. There's so many.
It was a little rapey.
I wrote, did Mama Bear, was that?
Yeah, they called her Mama Bear once.
So, like, toward the end, Machete brings her out. I'm gonna call him Machete the whole time.
That's because
I don't care what his real name is. He's Machete to me. Uh-huh. I was like, was that forcible? Because when he brought her out, her clothes were all disheveled.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think that was pretty gross.
Well, he was kissing her neck, and she was saying no, no, and then they changed scenes, and
it
was
weird.
So, pretty rapey.
Yeah.
Definitely enough to make things very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then in the climactic third act of the movie, which was about 7 minutes long, there's a lot of buildup for the third act, and the third act was, like, non-existent. They find out where he is. They kill his woman. The girl who I didn't think was gonna end up being the main character, actually, because it was never really about her. It suddenly became about her. Finds the guy.
Yeah.
They use this magic trick from the only good actor in the movie, was the magician interrogator guy. He was the coolest character. And then he had nothing to do with the movie, but they use his stage and there's, like, a trap door. And so she steps on the button, her mom drops down, and she shoots the bad guy with a freaking rocket launcher, which would blow up everyone else.
And he disintegrates.
He does.
Literally, I wrote that. I was like, is this bitch carrying a fucking rocket launcher?
Yeah. And, like,
what do you expect this to do? Yeah.
And, like, he was still really close to her mom. That would have blown up everything in the vicinity, but it just vaporized him.
And then her mom fell down the trapdoor and was somehow just unscathed. Okay.
Like, inches just, above her on the stage.
When things blow up. When things blow up above you and you're on a bed that's below the stage, it's not going to get you. It's like the monsters. As long as you're in the covers, you're fine.
So everyone listening, I want you to paint this image in your head, because, like, we're not making a lot of sense right now. We don't do movie reviews, but it's 1990. The music sounds like porny Seinfeld. The acting is terrible. There's a quota that every 7 minutes you have to see a pair of exposed breasts, it feels like.
Huge, huge boobies, always.
And imagine, like... imagine watching a movie where Playboy Playmates try to act. That is this movie, because they are literally Playboy
That's
Playmates.
That's pretty much it. Are they really?
Yeah, or
are
Cynthia Brimhall, the girl who sings, like the main detective's woman. She was Playmate of the Year in 1985. Not of the year, October 1985.
How do you know this?
I Googled.
Oh, okay. I did write, those chicks that look like zookeepers are pretty hot. And that was
Those were the
that
bad
was in the
girls.
beginning when those two girls were like running, but they had like tan outfits on.
Yeah.
And I thought I didn't know what they were supposed to be. I
Why
was like,
did
what
they
are these
have those
zookeepers
on?
doing hopping into a helicopter? And then yeah. So in the beginning those guys like kill the wrong lady
Yeah, and they dress up
and
as
they
women
turn
to do
around.
it.
Yeah, and I was like, that's kind of funny, I guess. I don't know if
Yeah.
it's supposed to be
It was a
because
classic trope.
so like
Men can't wear women's
yeah, like they
clothing in
dress
1990.
yeah. So like the guys dress up in women's clothing. And then one of my favorite lines of the whole movie was the girl says, two ladies just came in here and started killing people.
Yeah.
And I was like, literally, as they're shooting people, like the guy like l looks the guy like looks right up at the camera, basically. It's supposed to be a person, but he looks right at the camera, and I'm like, that is clearly a dude. He still has facial hair.
Yeah.
Like how anyone mistook them for ladies, other than that, you know, they're shooting guns around and probably couldn't like keep an eye on them, is the only thing
Also, they were both like 6 foot
that
two
would.
and muscular.
And then there was like a cut scene to like, so those guys wore disguises, but then just rolled the fuck up in there and started shooting. What was the point of the disguises? Which I think is a fair question.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like they wore disguises just to walk in and just fuck everything up. Like, just why even wear a disguise? Just
Yeah.
go hide like you did before.
Yeah.
And then I wrote, oh, those zookeeper ladies are just hot cops, I think, question mark. A couple minutes later, I just put 2150 boobies, all caps, which was the time marker for the boobies being there. And then I said, of course, this fucking scummy movie set in Vegas. 2315, more boobies. 2320, and a butt.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then there was a Vaseline wrestling scene. Did you catch that one?
Yeah, it was like way too awkwardly long.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with the plot.
It serves no purpose other
No,
than to have
yeah.
girls wrestling
Let me talk
in
about that.
whatever liquid that was.
Let me talk about
Yeah.
that scene real quick. Literally, like the first time we find them in Vegas again, it just pans in on this oil wrestling, and it's like it's in the corner of a room with a little kid pool, inflatable kids pool, with like maybe 14 people gathered around it cheering like this, like extras. Yeah, get her,
Woo!
woo,
Do that.
do
Yeah, you
that.
guys are almost naked. Yeah.
And so there are these two women who are wrestling in oil, you know, every man's fantasy. One's got a white, like, skimpy tank top on, so you can, like, totally see through it. And then one girl wins, and the other girl, whose name was Hugs Higgins, spits on her,
Oh my
calls her a
God.
bitch, and walks away. And then the very next scene is the detective, for some reason, is standing outside of the women's showers while Hugs Higgins and some other girl are in there, showering off,
Yeah.
totally naked, but from the waist up. You know, it's a classy movie, come on.
Yeah,
And
of course.
so this scene is only in there to say this line, is what I think. Hugs goes, "My boyfriend doesn't, or wants me to give up oil wrestling." And the other girl goes, "Why is that?" And she goes, "He says it's not dignified." And then, or what, wasn't it that, something like that? He says, "It's undignified." And she's like, "Well, so is a blowjob, but he's not complaining about that, is he?" And then the
Oh
detective looks
my
at his black
God.
friend, the one black guy in the movie, and just
Yeah.
like, they just give a look at each other, like, "Oh, I don't know." And then that was it. And then it goes away, and I was like, "What? What was that about?"
Yeah. And then somewhere shortly after, there was the ninjas scene. Like they like cut from that out or something. I have no idea what timeline this movie was on. I don't
Yeah.
know. If this was all a couple days, if this was all the same day, I zero idea. It was nighttime once or twice, I think, maybe a couple days.
Right. Well, there was that one romantic scene when the sun was setting and the blonde guy railed the Burnett agent on that motorcycle.
Oh yeah, true. I forgot about that one.
That was real sensual.
Oh my god.
She's like, I gotta...
Yeah.
I can't believe all these guys... Like, it was her... Their attempt at telling her backstory. She's like, yeah, when I was a teenager, I got in with the wrong crowd, and then I saw what can happen in the system, so I wanted to make the world a better place, but now I gotta watch my ass. And he goes, I can help you with that. And then they start making out, and he takes her top off, and then it pans out so that their silhouettes are against the setting sun, and, like, you can see him trying to insert his penis into her vagina.
Nice. Yeah, and then there is the weird... There's, like, this weird scene where they're, like, getting guns or something, and then, like, there's this airplane that's, like, shooting at them on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, the girl shoots the airplane with a rocket launcher.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, rocket launcher.
Just nonchalantly.
And the guy's scream made me cackle.
Yeah, because it shows the rocket shooting out in kind of slow motion. Then it just cuts to a frame of the guy, the pilot, and you can tell this was overdubbed. But, like, the guy is looking out the window with his mouth fully open, and you just hear overdubbed.
Yeah, and that, oh man, I wish you could put clips into this podcast.
Did you hear her say to the other guy she was with, who was driving her around on the motorcycle, he was like shooting this giant pistol, and like he's like holding it with both hands, he's taking this power stance, and he like poof, and his hands go all the way back behind his head every time.
Yeah.
And then she goes, don't just do something, stand there. And then she goes and grabs the rocket launcher. Like, that's the most clever line in the world.
Oh, it's so bad. I can't even finish this. Like, there was a line where when the ninjas were attacking her and everyone, and she comes out, the blonde lady comes out of the locker room. And he's like, hi-ya! And he's about to, like, swing the sword on the big black dude. And she says, hi-ya, my ass! And shoots him. And that was that.
Also, if you went on YouTube and typed in gun noise, and the first video that popped up is, like, a four-second video where it's, like, a royalty-free gun noise, that's the noise they use every single time a gun fires. It sounds like... Even when there's a silencer on the gun,
wow, that's really
you just
good.
Hear,
yeah.
Even the machine guns.
And then I kind of skipped around a little bit. I didn't like skip around, but I didn't take notes for a while. And then there was the girl who's like had this insane bloodlust or something.
Oh yeah, she
like...
was insane. That scene that you're talking about, basically, Eric Estrada's woman was like, I want to kill for you, my love. And he's like, in time, my sweet. And then she, like, all these, like, henchmen keep getting killed. And she's like, now can I do it? And he's like, yes. So he sends her to these random characters that were introduced in, like, one scene who were, like, in on this, like, with the agency trying to catch this guy. And this guy's out. They live on a houseboat. And he's out in his little boat trying to catch fish and... they took way too long to show this little boat, which I get why, but his wife puts a beer on this little remote control boat, floats it out to him, and then goes back inside. So the bad lady comes in and shoots that woman in the back of the head and then goes out onto the deck. And then the guy out on the other side of the lake didn't know. And he's like, honey, send me over another beer, would you? And she's like, oh, I've got your beer, baby. Or something like that. Not even that good of a line.
Something very 80s, 90s, bad action movie line. Yeah.
And so she RCs that boat over to the guy, and he grabs the beer off of it. And what's attached to the beer but the pin of a grenade?
A fucking grenade, yeah.
And that guy blows the frick up.
And it's in that, listen, I live with a combat veteran. And grenades,
grenades do not make that big of a fucking explosion. Yeah. There's no possible way.
And that guy was like in a paddle boat even. So there was like no engine blowing up. That was just the grenade.
Yeah. It's just
so way much too fire. Big of an
explosion.
So much fire.
Yeah.
And so that's when the main detective's girl was like, I'm going to take matters in my own hands, goes to the hotel suite that the bad guy's staying in, which why didn't they just kill him in his sleep or something? Whatever. So she goes there, like, if they know where he is and they can get in there that easily. Well, whatever. I'm poking holes in the logic of a B film. But she goes up there and they try to make it really, like, really intense. Like, this bathroom that she's in has all these mirrors and this chick is, like, in a towel and... the girl comes in and they've never, like, they talked to each other once and apparently they, like, went to school together and hate each other. But, like, so she starts shooting and she's hitting all these mirrors instead of the woman. And then the woman is like, that gun's a blah, 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 and you're all out of shots, bitch. And then she shoots her in the stomach and she's instantly dead.
Yeah, which is the weirdest part of that whole,
Yeah.
I don't think people die instantly from stomach shots, but that's just, I mean...
Everyone died instantly I've never been from shot. Any shot in this movie. They were all squishy as hell.
Yeah, which... they're all squishy as hell. I did write that the computers were funny. it's funny how old those how big they were. Yeah. That's pretty much it. They made me think of Doogie Howser, which is an old show. Yeah, and then let's just fucking move on to the finale of this movie because I can't do this anymore. Yeah. Like it's just, it was so bad. Oh my god. I wrote this is like toward the end. Machete is like with Eric Estrada and they're talking about what the fuck ever. I don't know, some plan. And I just wrote, is Machete, is he wearing a fucking bolo tie? And he was. He was wearing a bolo tie. That's pretty cool, I guess. That was pretty, that's the last of my notes. So that's as far as they went. I just could not pay attention anymore. I'll be honest. It was a train wreck, the whole movie. We've already talked about the ending. Like they go in this place, and there's like this big build up, and the one dude is like running around, and like Machete is wearing a bolo tie, running around on the other side of like this big stage area. It kind of reminded me of high school doing theater and stuff. You know, it's kind of interesting. And the guy, he's just like they're just shooting, and it's the guy with the gigantic pistol. Which. Can't be that easy to shoot.
No.
And definitely can't be that easy to shoot, like, inside. I don't know. I feel like, whatever, let's not poke holes in the logic. You're right.
Also, did you see him just straight up fall for no reason? Like, he was a bumbling idiot.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, he's, like, he's walking. He, like, turns around, and he just this is the big climax. This is how, like, Machete dies. Like, the guy trips and shoots his gun up in the air on accident. And Machete comes out from behind, like, the curtain, and he's like, looking at the guy like, oh, I got you now, bitch. Like, that kind of, you know, stupid movie thing that people do, acting, whatever. And the guy, like, the guy's like, oh, no. And then a sandbag falls next to Machete. And I'm like, oh, great. Maybe he's going to kill this guy. And then the whole fucking, and like, you know, like, whatever it is, the tresses?
The whole rig.
The right word?
Yeah, whatever, the whole rig.
Yeah. Whatever holds the lights above a stage, whatever that word is, whatever that noun is, just falls on Machete. And he got wrecked. He was just a pile of bones at that point. He was super dead. And then the whole thing happened where Mama Bear and Eric Estrada come out, and she's like, do you recognize this guy? And she's like, he's Joaquin de Delamon. Which, by the way, what is that name? And he's like, you could call me an old family acquaintance. And the girl says, you killed my father.
I thought he was, I swear he was going to be like, I am your father.
Like, plot twist, yeah. What a plot twist, he killed her dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the whole thing with, I don't even know how it happened. I don't know if she, like, I don't know how she knew that button was there or whatever. But she steps on the button and her mom falls down, and then she just disintegrates Eric Estrada into nothingness.
Straight up, like, he's no longer exists. No DNA even left in the scene.
And then right after that, the girl, like, comes out. The other girl, the brunette that got railed on the motorcycle. And then the blonde guy come up, and she, like, puts a gun to a bad guy's head, and she's like, we're back. And I don't even know. Like, some guy put a gun to her head, and the blonde guy put a gun to this guy's
head. Who are these people? Yeah, where were they, like, the whole time?
It was like in The Office where everyone has the fake guns, and they're all pointing them at each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, you put your guns down. And then they all start to lower them. And then they're like, ah, and they all put them back up at the same time. That's exactly what it made me think of. And the guy's like, some bad guy says some bullshit. And then the guy's like, you didn't let her finish. We're back and we brought some help. And he hits this big garage door opener. And then, like,
the military's some there.
Some president. Yeah. The whole fucking military's there.
And there was Ben never Stein's
apparently the FBI director.
Wait, that was Ben Stein?
No, but didn't it look like him?
Oh, he did look like Ben Stein. That's hilarious.
Oh, if it were Ben Stein, oh that would have been perfect. We're here to help, Bueller. Yeah. And then it just cuts. Maybe I didn't, like, watch the full version. I watched mine on YouTube, right? So I think I missed a lot of, like, boobies and stuff. I think
you missed some boobies.
Which honestly sucks. That would have made the movie a lot better for me. No, honestly,
because they were all fake.
That's fair. I guess that's fair. Boobs are great for me no matter what. But, like, I guess that would lower the value. No, it doesn't. But I mean, like, really? You know what
to
I mean?
To me, it totally
I'd be
did.
Like, yeah, there's big old fake boobies, which is fine. Like, yeah, but
it totally took
I think
me
I
out
missed
of it.
A lot.
Totally took me out of it. That's what took me out of it.
But okay, but, like, so it cuts. But at the end, it cuts after that. And, like, it's just all – this was the ending for me. Maybe it was different for you.
Yeah, let me hear
But
it.
They're just – it's the two girls.
No, this is my ending,
on the beach.
Too.
Yeah, and they're on the beach, and they just run to each other and give each other a high five. They're scantily clad on the beach. They give each other a high five, and then the fucking credits roll. And I was like, that's the end? Like, that was it. That was the movie.
No lie, guys.
Good movie, Andy.
Act 3 of the movie was 11 minutes long, and that includes that high five at the end.
Which was probably 30 seconds, but still. Yeah,
and the movie is an hour and a half long.
Yeah. So that was the movie. If you don't know what the hell happened in it, then you're not alone, because neither do I. Honestly. And I watched it. So that's basically...
My closing thoughts would be, if you are a fan of bad movie nights, which is where you get all your friends together and you get drunk and you watch a really bad movie and make fun of it, that's the only way that this movie is worth an hour and a half of your time. But if you're looking for a really bad B-movie, Get Guns by Andy Sedaris.
Yeah, and it's on YouTube. But if you want to see them boobies, don't watch it on YouTube, because that's the mistake I made.
Chad, how many stars out of 10 would you give this movie?
Oh, my God. If I could give negatives, I would. But I'll give it – you know what? I'll give it a 2. It had its moments of entertainment.
That's fair.
It's kind of – The special effects were terrible all around, but you know.
I laughed out loud 3 separate times by myself watching this, so I'm going to give it a 3.
That's fair. I laughed out loud more than that, but only because I was like, wow, this is just fucking bad.
Yeah. Like, there is entertainment in trash. Like, to an extent, but also I
to
like,
an extent.
Yeah, I walked out and Miranda was here. I'm like, I don't know what I just watched.
Basically, yeah, same reaction for me. Is I watched it with Jail John, and it was just like, the end of the movie came, and we were like, I can't believe that was the end of the movie. I thought maybe there was like some more kind of resolution, but that was it. They killed the guy, and I guess that's all we needed to do for that movie. There wasn't didn't need to be any loose ends tied up. And if there were loose ends, they probably ran out of money to film it. So that's pretty much, not that they started with any budget, probably. Yeah. But yeah, it was 2 out of 10. It was a shit show, basically. That's my final thoughts.
Well, that's going to do it for us. We're going to include a link to the trailer as well as the picture on the front of the DVD cover of the film, because it's really funny. It's like supposed to be like James Bond, and Eric Estrada looks like he's posing for a prom picture.
That's awesome. One more thing. I want to give props to all the Podriac Equation people who review movies, because one, this was really hard, but two, you guys watch a lot of movies. Well, I don't think they're all this bad, but like,
some of them
have a lot of movies that are kind of like, that are kind of like B movies. And I'm like, man, I could not do that. So I couldn't even really be entertained by Guns. So I don't know. Yeah. We need to ask Big Daddy J, like, you guys like these,
I understand why they are so funny. Like, you have to have a sense of humor to get through these every week, or you would just kill yourself.
Ooh, boy, are you right. Yeah, but maybe I'm going to start watching some of the movies they watch and be like, you know, they can't all be as bad as Guns was. We'll see. Maybe not.
I listen to them, and they do such a good job. Like, I need to see the movies because, I need to know, like, how do they do this?
Yeah, I think the podcasts are better than the movies.
Yeah, so absolutely. There's that. That's what's fun. Yeah, just everyone needs to, one, if you're new to us, we don't normally do this. We just talk to each other and be best friends. But listen to all the other people on the Podriac Equation. If you want to hear more about these Andy Sedaris films, that's what this pod crawl is about. They all watch movies from the same guy. They're all part of a series, apparently, that are loosely related or something. I don't know. But
maybe, yeah.
They do a way better job at it. And they're all movie review podcasts, like we mentioned, and they watch a lot of these movies. And they do a really great job. So go check all of them out. What is it? Podraticequation.wordpress.com?
ThePodraticEquation.wordpress.com, yeah.
Gotcha.
Someone doesn't go to the site all the time.
I don't go to the site all the time. I'm on.
I'm just kidding. I'm joking. It's fine. Yeah. So thanks for listening. If you did enjoy this movie review, then good on you, because I hated it. So never expect this again.
Yeah. And if you do watch Guns, let us know, because we still need therapy and we need to unpack it with someone.
Yeah. What little there is to unpack, basically. Yeah. But yeah. Cool.
Oh, man. Well, thanks, everybody.
All right.
We'll be back with our regularly scheduled programming on Monday with another episode of the Dad Podcast. My name's Cameron Weaver.
And this is your boy, Chad Hoy. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.